The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13th cycle's Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length and much greater detail, with different participants in a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in the second Shabbat is Daf Yud Aleph. We're holding at the third line down on the top of the Daf, and we were holding in the middle of these quotes of Rav by Rav Bar Kassia, who quoted Reb Chama Bar Guria, was quoting Rav, and so we have a list of those special Ma'amorim of Rav, which were very chaviv, as we saw yesterday, to his Talmidim. So, Omar Rav Bar Nachasim, Reb Chama Bar Guria, Rav, Kol Ir Shigagoteha Gibo'im Mibet HaKnesset L'Sof Chorva. If you have a city where the houses, the roof of the homes, is higher than the shul, then that causes the city to be destroyed. You see that the way to prevent Churban is to see to it that the Beit Elohim in the town should be uplifted. This, however, does not refer to mosques. Those are meaningless. Kishkushim, and the mosques' phallic symbols that they stick up there and so on, those have nothing to do with the Beit HaKnesset, they're not real, and Letlanba. Omer Rav Ashi, yes, based on this, Ana Avde L'Mata Machasya D'Lo Chorva. I was the one who saved Mata Machasya from destruction. What? But it was destroyed. True, it was destroyed. But Me'oto Avon Lo Chorva wasn't destroyed from that, it was destroyed from something else. Just imagine how bad it would have been if it was destroyed from this one. If you've got a chance of making your life tachat Yishmael in an Arab country, better that than tachat Nochri, better that than behind the Christians, they're awful. Better tachat Nochri, velo tachat Chaver. The worst thing would be to be under Rashidans. The Chaver is a group of Persians. Tosfos shows that they're not Persians. They were basically as Star Wars stormtroopers that had invaded, actually joined Persians, but they were a completely different Ummah that is defined in the Medrash and so on, that they look like Malachi Chavalah. They're all dressed in black with these wide begonim, and as they walk in, it goes bom, 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 bom. But don't live in a country where that's right. Darth Vader's not good to have as a governor. But better Darth Vader than have a Talmud Chacham. I mean, that would be absolutely the worst. Can you imagine living in a country run by Shas? God help us. Taka Talmud Chacham. And better have a Talmud Chacham as a leader, but not a Yatom V'Almana. Obviously, the latter two are not because of the evil, but because of how much there will be hakpora on you, mitzad hadin. If you don't behave properly, the Talmud Chacham will be manish you, and a Yosem V'Almana, the great HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you will be punished if you say something wrong about the governor. So, you know, you don't want Palin to be your, no one would be your Palin. V'omar Rav Bar Machasya, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guya, Omer Rav, I'll take any sickness, but not stomach sickness, please. Lo kolei me'ayim. Anything but the brer patch. And I would take kol ke'ev. Ke'ev is a recurrent pain, a chronic pain. I'll be able to handle any pain rather than heart pain. Lo ke'ev leiv. The kol mechush and any ache. An ache is sort of, like a headache and so on. So I'll take any type of ache, but not headaches, please. And any evil in my life, just not a bad woman. Oh, God help us. V'lo isha ra'ah. V'yomar rabba bar machasi v'chama bar gunyam arav. Im yu kol hayamim diyo. If all of the oceans were made out of toner. V'agamim kol masim. And all of the reeds that were growing in all of the places on earth were inkheads. And shamayim yiriyot, and you had the entire heavens to write on. V'chol b'nei adam lav larin, and you had all humans doing nothing but writing down information. Ein maspikim l'chtof chalala shel rasha. There would be no way to print out one day's worth of the interrelated, integrated activity that takes place in the course of governing. So there's just so much going on. thousands and thousands and thousands of interrelated, multi-level issues that cannot be expressed in a linear way, and therefore it's beyond the level of complexity that people could read. This is back at the time of Gemara. Imagine me on my side. Micro, where do we see this? In the Pasuk Amar Misharsha, Shamayim Larum. You can have the very heavens as high as it goes. Ve'eretz La'omek, in the depths of the earth, but Lev Melachim in Cheker, the core of the Malchus, cannot be understood. Yomar Rav Bar Machasi, Yomar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Yomar Rav, Yafet Amit L'Chalom Ke'ish L'Na'orat. The greatest, most powerful way of destroying the impact of a bad dream is just fasting. And that is as good as setting fire to one of the most flammable materials, which of course we know how flammable that is, because till today it causes explosions and silos and so on. The Na'orat is the little floating bits of sawdust or of remaining dust on grain and so on. One spark sets that off, boom, the whole thing explodes instantly. Omer Chista, but that's only bo bayom. It's if you have a ta'anit on the very same day that you wake up with that dream. The Omer of Yosef, this is even on Shabbat. Don't put it off. If you had a bad dream Friday night, don't wait till Sunday to fast. Rav Yeshua Breder of Eden came to visit Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was so excited having a guest like this that he made him an iglat yotah, which is a third-born calf, which is very, very high-quality meat. So he presents it, on Vito Marmidi, please eat something. Amalo, I can't. But Anita Yativna, I'm keeping a fast. Amalo, so? Lo Savalei Mar, don't you agree with what Yehuda said? Amalo, Yehuda, a person can always borrow a fast and pay back. If it turns out you need to eat today for some reason, like you're invited out to a good restaurant, or somebody makes you an iglat yotah, so just decide you'll fast another day to pay back this one and forget about today. So Omar Lay, yes, I do all of that, but this is a Ta'anit Chalom. And Ta'anit Chalom, what good is it going to do me to pay it back? Didn't Rabba Bar Machasa and Muhammad Bar Guria Merav say, Yofa Ta'anit Chalom Ke'ish L'Na'orat? Rav Chista says it's only Bo Bayom, so I can't pay it back. Rav Yosef said this is so important, that means even fast on Shabbat if you have to. Well, filu b'Shabbat, certainly it's worth missing your iglat yotah. Okay, continues the Mishnah now with these strange words. And you mentioned that we have two girsaot. Either the ve'im itchilo ein mafsikin mafsikin kriyashma, or mafsikin not with avov. So, there were two approaches, and we'll see them right now. All right, so the Rambam learned the Mishnah has only one meaning. It's a completely new issue that relates to, as we're going to see in the Gemara, people who are learning Torah as Toratan Umanatan, which is not the way the tax authorities in Israel define Toratan Umanatan, which includes, you know, going shopping in the morning, taking the kids to school, then taking a little rest, and coming in at 10 o'clock to Seder and so on. That's not what Toratan Umanatan means in the Gemara. It means like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who sat there with absolutely nothing and did nothing at all, not for an instant, except sitting and learning. So, the Rashi's pshat, however, is that the main meaning of the Mishnah is that it's a reference back to the opening of the Mishnah, and it's creating a distinction between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. So we talk about Somuch L'Mincha, going to a barbershop, eating. That's as far as Tefillah is concerned. But how about something before Kriyat Shema? Kriyat Shema is the Oraita. There you would have to be Mafs. Let us see how the Gemara fits into these two approaches. So asks the Gemara of Imit Chilu Ein Mafsikin, Mafsikin Le Kriyat Shema. Oh, so Rashi understands the question as follows. Hotani Le Reisha, Ein Mafsikin. Before you said already, Ein Mafsikin. So why now? And you were talking about Tefillah. Why are you repeating the same thing of Ein Mafsikin? Now this is Rashi's pshat. Nope. The same, because that's all we're interested in. According to Rashi, the Kriyat Shema part is obvious. That's a new thing. The Kriyat Shema, that's referring back to the Reisha. I never spoke about Kriyat Shema before. But why repeat? We're talking about Tefillah, so why repeat? Ein mafsikin l'tefillah. I repeat it because it's coming to teach me something new about Tefillah. Seifa ata'an l'divrei Torah, that's talking about Torah tan, umanotan. And that is referring to the Tanya, Chaverim, Shayu, Oskim Torah. So if you have people that are sitting and learning, you do not interrupt your learning for tefillah. Om Rabbi Yochai, wait. That's only Loshana Gon Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Chavei Rav Shetoratan Munotan. Talking about people like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, not Shmos like us. Avokigon Anu, Mavsikin the Kriyat Shema Vilei Tefillah. Which means that the Gemara that we had yesterday, as Tosis points out about Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yirmiya, where he was angry at him, Meisir Azmo, Mishmoat Torah, what's the matter with you? What are you going to rush for to go daven? I'm in the middle of giving you shir. The heck with davening. That's because, indeed, he was Torah Tomunato and didn't have to be mafsik for tefillah. I had said that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, as we're going to see later on, which is of course the story of Lag BaOmer, which is why it's on Daf Lamed Gimel. But that story is a story in which he indeed would went into the Maharan. We have the whole story where he would cover himself over in sand in order to go and not ruin his begadim, and he would only get dressed for tefillah. Says Tosfos, no, that doesn't mean tefillah. It means the Kriyat Shema, yeah, which we're calling tefillah over there. But doesn't it say Vatanya, Kishem She'ein Mafsikin L'Tefillah Kaf Ein Mafsikin L'Kriyat Shema? What is that brayta referring to? It's clearly not referring to normal people who are learning. It can't be referring to Rav Shimon bar Yochai v'Chavirav Shetoratanu Munatam, because it says over there not to interrupt for Kriyat Shema. And your understanding our Mishnah is saying do interrupt for Kriyat Shema. Answers the Gemara Kitani Agi B'Ibur Shana. That is a higher level of being Osek in the Tzorach HaTzibur for the Tikkun of the Moadim. And that was specifically those people who were invited to the Beit Din, where they would go up, seven people would go up upstairs in a second story away from everybody, and they would be Osek in defining whether to be Ma'aber the year or not. That was something you could not interrupt, even for Kriyat Shema. That was Nogea, the entire Seder of the whole Klal Yisrael for the year. And that's referring to Yibur Shana, as Rav Ada Bar Abba said, and so too did the Sabi of Agrunia, Omer of Elozber Bitzodor, Kishayino Eskim Yibur Shana B'Yavna. When we would be in Barnea's neighborhood, and we were being Osek in Yibur Shana, Lo ayinu mafsikin, lo lekriyat shema velo detvila, we interrupted for nothing. And so, Richie, before you leave, you should give us at least a beautiful Halakha Commission, don't you think, our president not being here?
Zuch the Halakha Mishnah.
A good try, Gronksy boy. thank you. Lo yetzei achayat b'machato samuch l'chashecha. Now, of course, according to Tosfos, this Mishnah is the key to understanding the whole Seder of the Perek, because since we needed to get to make sure you make your cleaner clothes before going out, before Shabbat, you don't carry something by accident. So therefore, we already start talking about the Seder of the Yom, and before that, we need to introduce what Hotza'ah means. What would be wrong with Hotza'ah? So we give you some basic facts about Hotza'ah in the beginning, and then we move on to the main Seder, which is don't go to get a haircut. So, a chayat would carry around a machat. Well, don't go out with that machat. And we're going to see what that's referring to. Is it referring to in your hand? Is it a machat that a tailor would wear in his lapel? And the question would be whether this would be gzeira le gzeira. Is that a normal derech avot? So they got a machat in a lapel as opposed to carrying it. All these issues are going to be discussed in the Gemara. Shema yishkach v'yetzei. We're worried that you'll forget it in your bagot. You may walk out on Shabbat with it and be over on Hotzah. The same thing would be true if somebody makes a living by being a lavalar, so that he writes either svarim or letters for people or so on, and he would generally walk around with a pen stuck behind his ears. So don't walk out the lavalar with the kumus. Again, we'll see what it's referring to behind his ear or in his hand. Do not check your clothing for lice. Now we'll see whether that stands on its own, do not check your clothing for lice, or is it part of the next sentence? Do not check your clothing for lice or read a book, L'or Haner, to the light of a candle, because you may end up making the candle a little bit brighter, trying to fix the wick so that you can get a better look, forgetting that it's Shabbat, you'll be over on that. Be'emet Amru, it's 100% reliable that this halakha, HaChazan, the Chazan was the guy that would be in charge of the kids that were reading the Sefer Torah, and you know, they would do their practicing. So he is allowed to peek to see Heikam Tinokot Korin. So he can point to them, okay, here's where you're going to be reading. Because he's in charge and they ain't going to budge these Tinokot without the teacher allowing them to budge. There's no kashash that they're going to be mata, as we'll see. But the teacher is only allowed to look and be able to point out, okay, here's Shlishi, we're up to Shlishi, read here. But he can't read those words, because then he may become already to be yata. And we have the Savaloyikra, Kayotsebo, a similar issue, where we need to be careful about what might happen. Lo yochal hazav ima hazava, even where you have two people, both of them are tame, and therefore there's no problem of being metame, the Oakland, and so on. However, over here, since one is male and one is female, we're worried about hergal avira. They may come to become sexually aroused from each other. Because of that, they might end up being over on basically zivas as nidas.
No.
It's because of you. It has nothing to do with the weathering. Tanata. Lo yamod adam b'shut ha'yachid v'yishteh b'shut ha'rabim, b'shut ha'rabim v'yishteh b'shut ha'yachid. Look, don't bend over to drink from a water fountain. If your body is in Rishut HaRabim and the water fountain has got these little mechitzas, don't bend over to drink, or vice versa, because we're worried that you're going to take a little bit of water and get back with you. If most of you, even if your feet are in one Rishut, but most of you is in the other Rishut, then we're not choshish, and then it's mutar. You don't have to worry about that. V'chein begat. Now, this is a rather opaque statement. We're going to try to figure out what it's talking about in a moment. V'chein begat. A gat, of course, is a place where you will crush grapes to make wine. Iboilo. So now, before getting into the v'chein begat, which we're going to be able to understand better by understanding the following question that was raised, iboilo. Karma litmai. I understand that if you are standing in Rishut HaYachid and the water fountains of Rishut HaRabim or vice versa, I could see why we would make a gzera because you're going to come to an Issa D'oraita. But how about if the water fountain is in Rishut HaYachid and you're standing in a Carmelite, where anyway it's only an Issa D'rabbanan to be motzi, because the Carmelite is actually Midoraita Makom Ptur, and therefore what would be the problem? Would we make a gzera even for a Carmelite? Amar Abaye, hehe, it's exactly the same. Rav Amar, no, that's crazy. The whole idea of a Carmelite is only a gezerah d'rabbanan. So you go for gezerah. We don't make a gezerah for a gezerah. I mean, it's enough that we're machmir on a Carmelite, and we're worried you may come to be nichshal and carrying in a Carmelite. So you can't, you don't do anything wrong when you're nichshal to be carrying in a Carmelite, because since the whole thing is only gezerah d'rabbanan and you didn't do it on purpose, so what the heck is the problem? Remember that the whole basis of keeping a d'rabbanan is in order not to be married against the d'rabbanan. To do it b'shogeg is not a merida, and you wouldn't be doing anything wrong even. So why are we worried about it to make a gzera l'gzera? This is not something that Rishonim learn. Amar Abaye, well, I'll prove it. Because there are times in which you cannot distinguish without destroying the entire basis of the gzera. Since the Carmelite we wish to impress people with its being a different rishut, we cannot make these types of distinctions and expect people to be able to maintain. And that's called chodeh gezerah. So there are weaker gezerot legezerot, and there are more powerful gezerot legezerot. Says Abaye, look, on Shabbat, these type of things, clearly we are gozer, because otherwise we're never going to be able to maintain a clear-cut distinction between rishiyot. We got enough problems with people trying to figure out what our arba rishiyot of Shabbat is. And I'll prove it to you. What do you understand with the words of v'chein begat? What is v'chein begat supposed to mean? Okay, let me understand now. You're going to be drinking some grape juice that was freshly pressed in the gut. I understand that's the issue. V'chein begat. Not only a water fountain. Okay. Now, explain to me, what is this gut? Okay, is the gut the big pit that's already run down into the pit, and now it's a Rishut HaYachid? So that it's 10 tefachim deep? I mean, come on. It said Rishut HaYachid. What is added by the gut? The God's also a Rishut HaYachid. Okay. Is the God referring to the upper part of the God, that the wine is just sitting there in a place where people are walking? So I don't care what you want to call it, Rishut HaRabim. Whatever. Is it Rishut HaRabim? It said Rishut HaRabim. Okay? So it can't be that it's adding anything if it's Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabim. It's got to be V'chein Begat because it's a Carmelite. Elalav Carmelite. So that's the whole point of adding V'chein Begat. What do I need to give you an example of every type of drink? Don't drink from a water fountain. Don't drink grape juice. Don't drink Coke. And 3 days later, we'll still be talking about this. Obviously, it's coming to tell me a different Rishut. Rava says, it's a brilliant raya, except for the fact that V'chein Begat has nothing to do with Shabbos. Nobody mentioned that to you. V'chein Begat is saying, and in a similar case, we have a problem. Now, what problem would you have on a gut? Heaven's sakes, you think we're giving us, this is the way to describe Carmelite Abai, V'chein Begat. But he's talking about a similar case where you've got a problem. What problem would you have in a gut? I'll tell you. You'll have a problem of maaser. You're coming to drink from freshly squeezed grapes. Now, the din is that you are allowed to take things ba'arai that haven't been completed. The stuff hasn't fallen yet into the actual holding chamber of the wine. If you drink ba'arai, then that's considered to be not a problem. What defines it as arai? You're standing in the gut itself. You're tasting a little bit of the grape juice. You taste a little bit. You pour the rest of it back. What's the quality like and so on? The moment that you take it out of the gut, then you've already taken it away from Ishtia Arai, and you made it permanent. That's the meaning of V'chein Begat in terms of Maaser. V'chein on Rav Sheshet, V'chein Begat means in terms of Maaser. This is part of the din in the Mishnah. It's not. Shotin al Hagat. It's considered to be a shtiyat arai as long as you're actually standing in the gut. And I don't care if you mix the wine, it's really grape juice at this point, with, you always mix with water, as we know, with the mezigah. I don't care if you used warm water or you used cold water. You would still be potter from taking off maaser. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, says, no, we're worried about this. He was mechayev because he's worried that maybe your intent is to keep it, and you'll come to walk off with it and be mater drinking maser, something which is tevel, even when it's really chayev maser. The chachamim say, no, the whole point over here is how likely is it that you're going to be walking away from the God. If you mix the scriptures with warm water, I guarantee you, you're not going to be pouring it back into the God. Because that could destroy everything by actually introducing yeast into it, because the warm water is going to wake up whatever cells are dormant there, and then you're going to turn the whole thing into vinegar. So nobody in his right mind would pour back a warm cup of grape juice into a God. Therefore, if you have something that is warm, you mixed it with warm water, then we have to be gozer, and in fact, we have to assume that that is a shtiyat keva, because you're putting it back. So therefore, alach amin, you're chayev in maaser. Alach sonen, you're patur. Why? Because you're not really taking it out of the God. If you're standing in the God, you're going to be machzir et hamotar, you'll put the rest back. Now, what does this have to do with Shabbos? It has nothing to do with Shabbos. We're bringing, same way we put in the Mishnah, v'chein zav v'zavad. Does that have nothing to do with Shabbos? We're saying there are things that are harchaka from Averot. So here we were talking about not being nikshal and taking something out of a water fountain into where you are. There's another issue of taking things out of, and that's a gat. Of course, over there it's not talking about Shabbos, it's talking about the dinim of Maaser. Okay, let's take a look at the Mishnah and decide about the Karmelit. Basically, make a general decision about whether we will be gozer, gzera, gzera. I don't care about Karmelit, okay? Give me another example. Well, it says that the tailor doesn't go out wearing his needle, okay? So, I mean, it doesn't say wearing, but I mean, I assume that's what it's referring to. It says, lo yitzei achayat b'machato, samuk l'chashecha, because we're worried that he's going to forget and walk out. Now, let me ask you something. And what would be so bad? Midioraita, are you chayat for carrying a needle that is stuck in your lapel? No. That's not the way people carry needles. They carry needles in their hands. And therefore, even if you would forget, you'd only be over on a derabbanan. If it's telling you, make sure you don't have that needle in your lapel, so then it's telling you that we're gezer, gzera for gzera. Then it should be the same thing for Karmelit. Tainas Abaya to Rava. My love, did Chuvah lo bibigdal? No, says Rava. It's talking about he's holding it in his hands. Yeah? Well, what about the Braita that says, lo yetze achayat b'machato ha-tchuvah lo bibigdal? Well, what are you going to do about that? I'm assuming that means Erev Shabbos. Lo yetze, like it says in the Mishnah, Erev Shabbos, because maybe you'll go out on Shabbos. No, that's talking about on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, there's Xavier Drabbanan not to walk out. If you left your needle stuck in your lapel, now you can't take it out. Well, don't walk out with the needle stuck in your lapel. Really, says Abaya. And what about the Braita that says, Batanya, lo yetze achayat b'machato t'chuva b'bigdo b'erev Shabbos im chashech. Am I getting closer? What do you think? Am I warm? So what are you going to say now? It says, b'feirish erev Shabbos. So what do you see from there? We make a gezera le gezera. Therefore, I say by Karmelit is exactly the same thing. Now, says Rava, that's going on leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that even though normal people don't carry things in that fashion, but for someone who is a professional in that particular field and would normally carry things in that fashion, then for him you would be chayev, even though the norm is the tripata. So oman derech omenuto chayav, someone who's carrying things the way that he does professionally is chayav detanya. Lo yetzei achayat b'machato tchuvalo bibigdo. And that's the braita. Look at the braita. A chayat should not walk out with a needle stuck in his lapel. A nagar should not walk out carrying a ruler or a stylus to mark the wood in his ear, which was normal. A sorek would do, that would be the equivalent in those days, basically, of either dry cleaners or preparing wool for processing. Don't walk out with the knotting material, the mishicha, they would carry around string in order to be able to tie the material and then they could rake it. They would put that in their ears. The tzaba, a gardi rather, who is a weaver, he would walk around with an ira in his ira, And that ira was a little piece that you would put into the kana that would prevent the as you throw the shovel, would prevent the string from, the thread from just flying out. So that was a sign. Rashi learns that all of these were not for professional use. They were for professional advertising. So if you walk down the street and you're wearing a slide rule, you're obviously a physicist. If you're walking down the street and you're wearing a needle, you're obviously a tailor. So anybody who needs a mathematician will stop you. I mean, how else are you going to make money as a mathematician? A thermometer. That's right. My shred during the war carried a thermometer. Saved his life.
It's part of the uniform.
It's an advertisement. But since it's his advertisement, it's the way that people are supposed to know who he is and stop him for selling his wares. So then that becomes the norm, according to Abutis. We'll get to it. We're not up to there yet. A painter usually carries around around his neck, he carries around one of those
color charts,
right. Murphy paints color charts. There you go. And it's right there around his neck, and anybody who looks at him knows that he's not part of the gay pride parade. He's actually a painter. Okay. So he's carrying this dugma around his tzavar. A shulchani, if you're a banker, obviously, you carry a silver dollar in your ear, right? So you put a dinar Shabbos, no. But in all of these cases, if you did actually carry it on Shabbat, you would be potter. Im yatsa patur bavlo, sir, you're not supposed to do it lechatchila, divrei Rabbi Meir. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and I say, says Rabbi, that our Mishnah, there was a reference to Rabbi Yehuda, the eldest bride you were bringing, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but for no man, derechum nato yerchayev. It's only other people who are potter, shar kol adam patur, but the list over here, professionals, they in fact would be chayev, because that is their derech. Now, the same type of thing would be true in the following case, Tani Chana. Lo yetze hazav bikiso v'im yatsa patur aval asur, v'tan yirach lo yetze v'im yatsa chayav chatat. Now, how do we explain the fact that we have two brightot that seem to be a contradiction? So what would happen if somebody was being roe zivot, he would carry around his penis a little gauze pad, and that way he would be able to detect if there was any leakage of prostate fluid, and he would know whether he was had been roe zivos. And one says, well, he can't go out wearing that on Shabbat. And another says that he would not supposed to go out, but if he did it, he'd be literally carrying it. He would be chayav chatas. How do we explain those two brachot? Says Rabbi Yosef, obviously one is Rabbi Meir and one is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if that's the norm for someone under those conditions, even though most people clearly don't walk around like that, but someone who needs to walks around like that, therefore he would be chayav, was according to Rabbi Meir. If most people don't walk around like that, then you're not chayav either. Omalei Abayan, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, look, that is something that is not the norm, okay? All of the things above, those are only for an individual, which is a different class of individual. Over here, it's a norm for anybody who needs to wear that type of pad. So it could be a feminine pad, masculine pad for the same purposes. Anybody who's in need of that pad wears the pad. So how can you, that's norm. How do you call that the equivalent of the machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Makes no sense. Of course everybody would be motivated. Mishanatlay, did you ever hear that there's a difference? I mean, are you going to tell me that according to Rabbi Meir, someone who is not a professional and therefore doesn't really know how to use his power tools, and he goes and he makes something, he's kote kav mibakat, so he takes a thick board, and he makes a container in it. He doesn't do such a great job, but it's the way that I do it, okay? So it takes me a long time, very shvach. You tell me according to Rabbi Meir, your potter. Because, I mean, you know, he's not a professional. Only professional is chayav. I mean, anybody who wants to do it does it that way. So that's the norm. So that doesn't make any sense. There's got to be another explanation for the difference between the two brachot. Are you chayav as a zov or not? Elam Rav Amnuna, you're right. Okay. It has nothing to do with the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, lo kasha, kan bezov ba'al shtei riyot, kan bezov ba'al shalosh riyot. Look, there's going to be an afkamina la'alocha. If this zov is going to have a riyah of zivot, if it's going to be three re'iyot, then he's going to have to keep shivat nikiyim, and he's going to have to bring a korban. If, however, he already was roya shalosh re'iyot, so then what's the point of walking out with this kis? Now, obviously, there's a point. The point is to keep his clothing clean, which we'll speak about in a moment. So, wait a minute. That's not true, though. Why are you saying, he's chayav? Because that would be the norm. Why would it be chayav? Because he has to check and see whether he had another re'iyah to be matami him now for the full zivas kedaila. So then, understand, and if he had three re'iyot, he needs to keep shivat nikiyim, just like a zava needs to keep shivat nikiyim without bleeding. He needs to keep shivat nikiyim without leaking. And therefore, he still needs to maintain this kis for sfira. It's exactly the same halacha. That's completely normal. No, you don't understand. He already had his third re'iyah today on Shabbat, okay? So now why is he putting on this kis? He's putting on this kis not for anything that has to do with his need for zivot, because it doesn't matter if he sees that he can't count today anyway. He starts counting the shivat nikiyim tomorrow. Therefore, it would be lo nitzcha lo labo bayom. But what about just wearing it to keep his clothing clean? I don't understand. So he's wearing a sanitary pad. So mi boy like kedesh lo yitan fu kelav. Why isn't he chayav for that as being part of a hotzah? Amr Rabbi Zera, this Tana holds that kol ipsulei tunif, tinuf, lorkakashu, something which is being worn not because you want to wear it, but because you need to wear it to prevent something else from getting dirty, is not considered to be a choshev ahotzah, and therefore you're not chayev. So for that, there's no problem. The only problem, I mean, maybe also, but it's no problem in terms of chiyev. But the only time that we do run into a problem is where you actually need it, either for svirat shivat nekiyim, or for determining whether you're actually chayev in the full zivas chiyuvim. We'll continue tomorrow with the details of Itzulei Tinuf, which goes on for a while. Omer Rav Bar Machazir, Rav Chaim Bar Bechori, Amar Rav Kolir, Shikag Batek, Avalim, Beit HaKnesset, Lesov Chareva, Shenemar Alarom, Meimet Beit Eloheinu, and through that, Mahamid Et Chorvotav. But this is only referring to Batim. Kishkushi Avrut, which includes Antene, Letlan Ba. Omer Rav Ashi, Ana Avdi Lamata Machazir, Dolo Chareva. What? But it was. Yeah, I know, but Meoto Avon, no Chareva. Omer Rav Bar Bechasya, how do you like that? Omer Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omer Rav, Tachat Yishmael, velo tachat Nochri, Tachat Nochri, velo tachat Chaver, Tachat Chaver, velo tachat Tamid Chacham, Tachat Tamid Chacham, velo tachat Yatom ve'Almana. Omer Rav Bar Bechasya, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omer Rav, Kol Choli, velo Choli Me'ayim, Kol Kehev, velo Kehev Lev, Kol Michush, velo Michush Rosh, Kol Ra'ah, velo Isha Ra'ah. Omer Rav Bar Bechasya, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omer Rav, Im Yukol Hayamim Dio, Vagamim Kulmes, ושמיים יריות וכל בני אדם לאו לרין אין מספיקים לכתוב חלל אשר רשות מי קרא עומר בשער שהשמיים לרום וארץ לעומק ולב מלאכים אין חקר ועומר רב הבן וחסר ובכם ובגוי עומר רב יופי תעדית לחלום קשן לנעורת עומר רב כיסטו בו ביום ועומר רב יוזי אפילו בשבת רב ישו ברדו רבי ניקלה לבי רב אשי עבד לי יקלה תילת עומר לי ליטו מרמידי עומר לבית עדית יתיבנה עומר לי סאול עושה ולי מר לא דרב יונה רב יונה לא ואדם תעניתו פוריה עומר לי no not in this case is this תענית חלומו ועומר רב הבן וחסר ועומר רבכם בברגוי עומר רב יופי תענית לחלום קשן לנעורת ועומר רב כיסט explain that it's דווקא בו ביום ועומר רב יוזי if it's so important you feel it בשבת ואם התחילו אין מפסיקים מפסיקים לקריאת Shabbat, you already said in the Reisha in Mafsiki, yes. But Seifa is coming to add something new, the Divrei Torah. The Tanya Chaverim, Shayu Oskim Batorah, Mafsikim Lekriyat Shema, Vein Mafsikim Letfilah. Om Rabbi Yochanan Lashan, Ol Kegon Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Vechaverav, Shetoratanu Munutan, Avo Kegon Anu, Mafsikim Lekriyat Shema, Ule Tfilah, Vatani Keshem Shema, Mafsikim Letfilah, Kach in Mafsikim Lekriyat Shema, Kitani Ahi, with yet a higher darga of important concentration, Ibur, And what about a Carmelite Mai? Omrabai, he. Rav Amar, of course not. He gufa gzera, not nekum and exor gzera, legzera. Omrabai, I'll prove to you it's exactly the same thing. Minam, inala, diktari v'chein begat. Now ask yourself, what is this God? If it's Rishut Hayachid, we already said Rishut Hayachid. If it's Rishut Harabim, we already said Rishut Harabim. It's got to be, it's adding something. Elalav Carmelite. Rav Amar, v'chein begat has nothing to do with Shabbat. It's talking about Maaser. V'chein Amar, v'sheshet, v'chein begat, meaning linyan Maaser. It's not. Shotin ala gat, ben ala chamin, ben ala tzomen, and you're part from taking off Maaser because it's shtiyat arai. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, mechayev. And the Chachomim say, it depends. Ala chamin chayav, because you're never going to put it back. And ala tzomen patur, mibden shumak zirat amotar. It's not. Lo yetzei achayat b'machato samuch l'chayav. Now, I'd say, says Abaye, the case is that it's tuva lo bebigdol, and nonetheless, we're making a gzera for something which is anyway a gzera, because you're not going to become chayev if you carry something out in a strange way in your lapel. No, says Rava, the nakit le biyade. Really? Tashma lo yitzea chayat b'machato hat tuva lo bebigdol? I assume that means mayor of Shabbat. No, says Rava, that's kitani on Shabbat. Really? Rotanya lo yitzeh achayat b'machato atkuva b'bigdo b'erev Shabbat im chashecha. Well, says Rava, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And he's the author of our issue here in the Mishnah and Braisa. Tanikhoda. Lo yetzei azav bekiso, v'im yatza patur aval asur, v'tani inach lo yetzei v'im yatza chayav chatat. Om Rav Ezo Kasha, or Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Om Rav Yabaya, it's not the same. Im adashamet lo yetzei Rabbi Meir, b'midit alav hainu urche. B'midit hainu urche for anybody who needs it, mishamet lo yetzei. Ilo tain nahoch, you're going to tell me that a hedyot that was chok hakav b'vakat b'shabbat. According to Rabbi Meir, you're potter, because it's not the way that the Oman does it. Lo bechayev. Elo amar of Amnon alokasha. Kan bezav baal shtei riyot. Kan bezav baal shalosh riyot. I don't get the difference. Maishna zav baal shtei riyot techayev, because he needs to have it for the bedika to see if he had another riyah. But a zav baal shalosh riyot needs it for a bedika to see if he can count today for shivat nikiyim. Lo nitzchel bo bayom. But doesn't he still need it? Kedei shelo yitanfu kilav? Om Rabbi Zera, haitanuhu di omar koli tzulei tiduf loka chashiv, as we will see in the Mishnah.
Are you all prepared to Sabbath Joshua today?
Yes.
All right, today's daf on the 19th day of Sefirat HaOmer is daf Yud Aleph. I believe that we got up to two dots. We're right in the middle of all of these marvelous Maamorim of Rava Bar Machasya, quoting Rav Chama Bar Guria, was quoting Rav, and we continue with the cities. We started with cities that are Yeshivatam Krova. By the way, I meant to point out, I have two things I left out, isn't it? One was Adan Adayin Shatam Din Emet La'amito. Not really, what is it, Din Emet La'amito? The Gemara says also, Tosa brings over here, La'afuke Din Ruma. In other words, a Dayan who goes by the books is not considered to be Dan Din Emet La'amito. Means that he has the sensitivity to know when to try to break a witness and when not to, when to ignore certain evidence, and he needs to have the ability to distinguish between what the book says is right and what the situation demands. The truth is that nowadays, as the Rambam paskins, a Dayan doesn't have the right to play games with the din, but he has to be solid to that. So he feels that the rules are not covering this case, and he shouldn't judge it. And he can't just decide that he's gonna ignore certain witnesses and things like that because of it. Too hefty for that. That was one thing. The other thing was very cute, that according to Rashi, the Tosfos points out that if Avram was 48 years old, since the Haflog, when Sodom was built, that was the same year, Avram was 48, and that means in the Milchama with the Melachim, he was 73, because it was the 26th year. And that equals Og, which is interesting. Because, of course, Og was the one who got the whole, got Avram involved in that war in the first time. They end up becoming very powerfully linked in that story, all the way to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of the sister of Avram and so on. And there's a lot of strange connections between the two of them. They're both called the Anakim, and Agadosh Anakim is Avram Avinu. But there's a lot of interesting connections with this gematria. But anyway, as the points out, it doesn't work out according to Seder Elam. According to him, Avram was 75 at that time. Time that we've been up to the end of the war. Anyway, so we were talking about cities, and it was Aranto. Our Antonian isn't here today. Very disappointing. But I know you're listening in. I think we remember you. So Rav Bar Machasya continued today to say that a city whose roofs of buildings is higher than the roof of the Beit Knesset, the Sofchar of in the end will be destroyed. Shneimar l'romem et Beit Eloheinu la'amid. Karvotar, we just mentioned you. Now you'll have to listen in. So we see that to lift up the house of the Lord is to restore its korvot, its roots. Now this is only real buildings. This is a very modern problem. Do you measure the height of skyscrapers, including the Kishkushi and the Ivruri, and that part of the big international competition about who's got the highest skyscraper? Do you include the antennas? And how about if it's like a tower-like device that contains an antenna? So it's a whole big machlokas where the highest building is. So here, the Gemara makes it very clear. We, of course, imported this word, which is very interesting. It's the elaborate structures that don't really serve any purpose, but all Kishkushim. So the Kishkushi that are not really part of the actual building, are just towers for, our president needs a tower signal to the aliens all the time that are following you, but it's good for radio broadcasting and so on. That doesn't count. Now this Gemara is the marker of all of the Hasidic Rabbein's miracles, because we see Rav Ashi says, I saw to it that Mata Machasya would not be destroyed, because I made sure that the Beit HaKnesset and indeed became higher than the other building. Of course, the problem is that Mata Makasha was destroyed. And so how do you explain your bracha of saving Mata Makasha? The Gemara answers, yes, but it wasn't destroyed because of that. It was destroyed because of something else. So that always works. You know, I gave a bracha to the patient, and the patient lived, but he died. He didn't die because of that. I'm joking. Again, nobody's got patience for my facetious. No, obviously, the good is that there was a time in which there was a chance that that they would have built the Beit HaKnesset otherwise, and it was dangerous to Mata Machasya. He saw to it that it wasn't that task. Then a later generation, there were other issues. Nobody expects Mata Machasya to exist forever.
But the name just said it's higher
than
Mata Machasya.
Is this
a
sport
to rebuild the
Shul
over here?
Than that Mata Machasya. Well, the Ephuria Kishkushi doesn't count.
No, the Ephuria are all higher than
This is a big question, actually, because we passed it. For some reason, we're not Makdan on it, even though it's in the Ikra Adin. There's a lot of different approaches as to how it is that we're not Makdan on it. First of all, there's a question about whether a building that is bought for Beit Knesset, instead of being built for Beit Knesset, has any of these limitations. You buy a building and there's a miklat, and you want to buy the miklat, right, the use of the miklat for Beit Knesset. There are many who hold modern posts, well, that's not a tour because he didn't build it into that. There's no prohibition of turning a mokum that was built for some other purpose into a Beit Knesset, even though it isn't necessarily the nicest Beit Knesset. There's also the issue of, is this a single Beit Knesset in the city or every Beit Knesset? Many hold that it doesn't mean every Beit Knesset. There should be one Beit Knesset, which is the high point of the city. The reason this went out of fashion, so to speak, in Halacha B'Maaseh, is because in Europe and in Arab countries, the churches or the mosques, the dafka, were made higher, and there was nothing you could do about it, either legally or they would outbuild you or whatever. It was an accelerating arms race at best, and God help us at worst. So basically, people started to be less mocked on it. There's also questions to what this means. Does it mean the height of the building, or does it mean the height of the roof? Meaning, in other words, if you're looking at the city, does this have to be what sticks out, or is it that the building itself, even though it may be built in the valley, and there's other places in the city that are built up on top, it doesn't mean that the Beit Knesset in the valley has to necessarily stick up more than me. Okay, that's also could answer some of the problems. For that, yeah, but they don't recognize that their phallic symbol doesn't count, which is a kishkushi, basically. It has to be the mosque itself that would be higher, right? But that doesn't really matter. Yeah. The Omar Rav Bar Machasi, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omar Rav, Kol Choli Velo Choli Me'ayim. Look, a person's going to get sick, any sickness, but not trouble in your stomach. That's a tough one. If you want to learn that one, huh? Omar Rav Bar Machasi, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omar Rav, Tachat Yishmael Velo Tachat Nochri. Look, if you're going to have a boss, who does Gilbert want? So he says, okay, I would take an Arab rather than a Roman. I take a Roman rather than a Chaver. Rashi learns that Chaver are Parsim. Tosis points out that the Parsim were involved from the time of Koresh. The Chaverim came during the time of the Tanoim. Couldn't be Parsim, some type of other Ruma. There's many Gemaras that make it clear there's some kind of deep connection between the, maybe the Zoroastrians, and the later type of religious. These were priests that didn't allow you to have idols. But whatever it is, they were some very tough people. There's a lot of different teachings, precisely historically, who it's referring to. Takat Chaver, I'd rather work for one of those guys instead of working for Talmud Chacham. Those are absolutely. Hello, Takas Talmud Chacham. Because those Talmud Chachamim, you get them upset and they just say they're vicious. And Taka Talmud Chacham, hello, Takat Yatom Almana. I'd rather work for a Talmud Chacham than work for Yatom and Almana. But you do something wrong and you upset them and they cry and God gets upset at you. But what do you need it for? The Omer Rav Bar Machasi, Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omer Rav. Kol Choli. If you're going to be sick, make sure it's not in your stomach. Hello, Choli Me'ayim. Kol Ke'ev. Take any kind of pain, but not Vol Ke'ev Lev. If the pain is a sudden sharp pain, so not a pain in the heart. Kol michush, a michush is an ache as opposed to a pain. Any ache, but not a headache. Kol ra'ah v'lo isha ra'ah, anything bad, but not a bad woman. That's Gemara Neir. Anybody with a isha ra'ah is guaranteed never to see hell. He's had too much of it in this world.
A happy wife is a happy life.
But there's another verse over here. Yeah, another verse over here. That women know how to get bad things really done. Historically, the power behind the throne. If you would have all of the oceans as dio, as ink for your printer, and you had all of the agamim, all of the reeds to be printheads, and all of the shamayim to be paper, and everybody working at the same time writing, they would never be able to keep up with the information flow of government. So you can
have, you can measure Shemayim, you can measure Oretz, but you cannot measure the interrelated information in the Lev Melachim, which Lamaisa gives you pause thinking about how you should second-guess government decisions very often. So in other words, the idea over here is that there's nothing as complex as the interrelationship, possible bits of information with, you know, the most complex structure in the universe sitting right there on your head. Galaxies are poised compared to that in terms of complexity. There's far more possible neural interconnections than there are particles in the universe. That's an amazing thing. Nice to have some of our old brachas from friendship back, huh? It's always good to have a tainis for a chalom, because the same way that fire immediately burns the na'oret, and the na'oret is the part of the grain that's already become crushed with the pressure, so now it's going to fly off. It's the part that will burn immediately because it's got a tremendous surface area surrounded by oxygen. So too, this is how the Marshal learned. So too, the eish, the equivalent of the eish is the tanit, which will burn only those parts that require burning. It's the na'oret. Leaving you with the gist of a good read. Omer Chisto Bo Bayom. It has to be on the same day. That's when it's got that same power. And Rabbi Yosef says, even if that day is Shabbos, as we mentioned in Brachot, most of the posts can say that nowadays people don't have dreams. They just have self-induced suggestion. Therefore, their dreams are meaningless, and there's no point in having Tanit Chalom, and Misha Makhid, Makhidim Allah, but just forget about it. Rabbi Yoshua Bereda Ravidi, equal of a Ravashi. Rabbi Yoshua Bereda Ravidi once came to Ravashi, and they made a beautiful Zuhuda for him in his honor, Abdullah Igla Tiltab, a third-born egg, which is always the best because the mother's in her best shape at that point, and he wasn't eating. How come you're not eating something? I'm keeping a tani today. This is a great halakha to have. You can always borrow against the tainis and pay it back some other time. Because I mean, sometimes the tainis is really, really inconvenient. I mean, they just invited you out to the most beautiful French restaurant. What are you going to tell them? The tainis is just my major niglet we saw. So he said, that would be very nice, except for the fact that this particular tanit is a tanit chalak. And the Rabbah Bar Machashim, Rabbah Bar Guyam Arab, Yotfet Tanit Lechalom, Keish Lenoret, and Rabbi Yosef said it has to be on that day, and Rabbi Yosef said that's true even on Shabbos. I can't give it up just for an eagle to yourself. You can never arrange it. V'im itchilo, ein mapsikin, but mapsikin lekriyat shema, and then it says again, v'ein mapsikin letzvilat. I mean, the mapsikin lekriyat shema, I can understand that you can maybe say there's a difference between the Raisa, the Rabbonin, I don't know, but why in the world would you repeat ein mapsikin letzvilat? That was the first part of the Mishnah. Ein mafsikin letvilah. You say, ein mafsikin letvilah again. Atana l'reisha. Ein mafsikin. No. You don't understand. The Sefer is talking about a completely different issue. The Reisha was talking about the question of the haircuts, the burskis, and so on. What we're talking about over here is someone who is learning Torah. So the question is, are you mafsik your Torah for kriyat shema or tefillah? The Tanya Chaverim, not to be confused with the ones on the top of the page, Shahayu Oskim Batorah, Mafsikim Lekriyat Shema, Ve Mafsikim Letfilah. People that are sitting and learning should interrupt their learning to say Kriyat Shema, but not for davening. Omri Yochel Hashanu, Ela Kigon, Rishim Bar Yochai, Chaverav. When we're talking about not being Mafsik Letfilah, that's only where this is consistent with the person's behavior in terms of the mitzvah of learning. Like Rishim Bar Yochai, he wouldn't interrupt for something simple like making a living, so therefore he doesn't interrupt for tefillah either. Avo kigon anu mafsikim lekriyat shema letefillah. People like us who will interrupt to go to our job or to work in the field. So if we can interrupt for that, you're not going to interrupt for tefillah. You can't afford not to daven, as they say. By the way, there's a Shiloh over here, according to the Rambam, who learns that Avodah Shevelev being Vila is the Oraita. Why are we making a difference between the Kriyat Shema and the Vila? So the Rambam learns the whole halakha over here. He says the same thing about Rabbi Yehuda, was misadded Tefillah Tov for every 30 days. You know, he would only daven every 30 days. He was also one of the Rav. So how do you explain that? The Rambam learns, this is the Kesem Mishnah, claims Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam learns that that's only then a misadded Tefillah Tov. That's to say Shimon Hesem. I say, I have thanks to Shimon Hesem. But you can say, oh, God help us. That's also Tefillah. So in order to be Yotzi, you're the Oraita. There's no Zman, and there's no particular Nuska. So the Rambam is also, it means not to be Matzik for the Seder, have you? Certainly, it didn't deal. It could be why Rashi over here strangely involves the Zman, because this doesn't have to do the Matzikim in the first part of the Mishnah, is not to be Matzik when there's enough time to finish. Here we're talking about not being Matzik at all, and yet for some reason Rashi says, the Kriyat Shema Zman on the Arise. So that doesn't have to do with the Zman on the Arise. So the question is, okay, at whatever point I would be Matzik, and I read then. Anyway, that would be similar to the Rambam. Asks the Gemara, but wait. It says beferishin a brayta, something that contradicts the mission of Tanya. Kishem she'ein mafsikin letvila, kach ein mafsikin lekriyat shema. How do you explain that? See, Bishleim, if you would tell me that the first Mishnah and the first Brisa are talking about people like us, then you could say that this one is referring to Rishon HaBaruchai B'chadra. You're telling me that's referring to Reb Shimon. So who's this referring to? Who's someone that would not be Mapsik or Kriyat Shema? Ah, Kitane Ahi B'Ibur Shana. That's talking about the intense meeting of those who would be Ayla L'Aliyah to determine whether the year should be Me'ubar. That is a mitzvah that is a mitzvah to Rabbim, at least defines the order of all of the Moadim for all of Klal Yisrael, and is of a level of importance of mitzvah to Rabbim that you're not mafsik to do personal mitzvah. The Omer of Adav Arava v'chetanu sabi dehagrunia, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Tzodo, kishayino oskim v'ibur shana v'yavne, you may not know that Yavne is a place in Bani's neighborhood, lo hayino mafsikim lo lekriyat shema v'lo letfila. We wouldn't be mafsik the dionim to put off tzak, even if it was nogeya, the missing zman kriyat shema. And now, as we continue our Erev Shabbat discussions, we finally got through Mincha, hopefully long after the haircut was over, and long after we went to the mikvah or before, if you want to do it. And now, it's getting close to Shabbos, and the question is, there may be the danger of you wearing something that would lead you to carrying it on Shabbos. And how would that be? Well, if you were a tailor, you might be walking around with the needle that you were using. So lo yetze ha-chayat b'machato, samuch l'chashecha, shem yishkach l'yetze. Or if you're a sofer, blah, 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 the kulmus, so don't go around carrying your little kulmus. Now Rashi, we'll see later on, this will get a question whether you're actually carrying, or whether this is in your baguette or behind your ear, or so on. Rashi learns that the cases that we're going to talk about in one possible pshat in the Mishnah is that this is advertising. It doesn't mean that we're concerned for your carrying a needle, why would I carry a needle? But the way that people would advertise their profession would be each one to carry something that was a remnant of the profession. So Lavlar would walk around with a little kulmus in his hat so everybody would see he's a Lavlar. You know, somebody who would be carrying around wagons would have a little thing on it that lit up and said taxi. Or a guy who was an engineer would walk around with a little slide rule behind his ear. You know, so here that was always a simon of an engineer. He had a slide rule in his ears.
The thermometer.
Yes, the thermometer. Right, my shver. It was like he made it through the war and work camp by having a thermometer. He called himself a doctor. That's all he had. That was his training. He knew how to take temperature, but people were convinced he was a big professional. So I'm sure he did more health side. So Shema Yishkach V'yitzeh, we're worried that he may forget. Now, the next piece is a little bit unclear. It says, Lo Yafale Et Kilav. It's not clear whether this goes together, V'lo Yikra, and then the Oran Er is to both of these things. Don't check your clothing for Kinim, or don't pull out the Kinim. Now, there may be two separate things. The Kinim part may be we're afraid you would crush a Kina. And then the Kriya L'Oran Er would be, we're afraid that you'll get involved in reading, and you'll turn up the fire. And there, by the way, in those days, was justified. It doesn't mean a wax fire, which is not at all clear. That would be included. We'll talk about that in our halakha discussion. But it means a lamp, and there is a lamp, and they have a little wick that goes up and down. And so we'll talk about in the Gemara whether these are two things, if they're both connected. Be'emet amru, ha-chazan ro'eh hechan tinokot kor'im, aval hu lo yikra. Now, the accepted halakha, by the way, is the Yerushalmi that says that ko be'emet amru az halakha l'mashu mi-sinai. The Yerushalmi doesn't seem to really mean it. The Rambam leaves out. No, there's a lot of things. There's a Rush also that's later on that talks about when we say on things that are clearly Durabana that couldn't have been halacha l'mashu mi-sinai, because they're about halachas that don't exist, like in Syria, what had been during Shvi'ah. So, you know, nonetheless, there literally says halacha l'mashu mi-sinai. So the Lush of halacha l'mashu mi-sinai can mean, as Rashi says in many of the Be'emet Amru, a halacha that has no ma'arin. Everybody accepts it. It's absolutely guaranteed to be a normative definition of this. I mean, here too, Be'emet Amru, ha-chazan ro'eh, hechan tinokot korim, that the chazan, who would be the one who's he's either teaching the tinokot, or he's supposed to point out where it is that you're supposed to start the aliyah from, and they practice. So he keeps watch over them. They don't have the chutzpah to touch anything, you know. I mean, they're very well-behaved Seder children, as we see all the time.
Hachi brings in Yerushalmi. The children don't
want to
read it,
Right, that's a beautiful Yerushalmi, that's right. They prefer it goes out.
Yeah.
But he himself shouldn't be correct. Kayotsebo, lo yochal hazavim hazavah mipnei hergel avira. So the same idea in which we're afraid that things that are too close together may end up falling into error is a male and female who, even though there's no problem with tuma, both of them may be tuma. Both zavim, normally they would keep away from each other, but they shouldn't eat together because they may come also to get more intimate with each other. It says the Gemara Tzan Hata, lo yamod adam b'shut ha'achid v'yishteh b'shut ha'rabim.
Yes,
true. A lot more romantic than anything out in the Torah. So Tzanata, lo yamod adam b'rishut hayachid v'yishteh b'rishut harabim. B'rishut harabim, yishteh b'rishut hayachid. Person should not be standing in one rishus, and he should have now bend over to get the water from the fountain in the other rishus that has what kli, that doesn't have what to drink from, because we're afraid that he's going to bring in the kli into this rishus, pull back, and drink, which of course would be hozarach and asah. Aval imi chnis roshev rubaot l'makom shushoteh, if most of his body is where he was drinking, then it's mutar. Of course, those of us who reminded the Yerushalmi will remember that this is not so pashut, because if you learn that the water landing in your tummy is considered to be the hanacha, then that should be the hotza'a. You're bringing the water from one rishos into the other rishos. Totus, in fact, asks this, because l'chor it should be the same as urinating across from one rishos to another. Gemara says the same rishos hotza'a. It's just the opposite direction. If the hanacha is into your stomach, then why is it the hanacha? So Totus says the swallowing should be the hanacha, which is the negative sas in the Yerushalmi. The question of how to understand Rabbi Meir by the mayor. Hey, but sorry, but you'll have to stick around for the Yerushalmi.
But they'll use a lot of straw.
The straw for sure not.
Well, it was in the cup already.
That could be real outside. The chain, the gut. Now, the same thing is true about a wine press, which is a little bit strange, but the same thing is true, meaning you're going to be drinking wine as opposed to water. I mean, that doesn't really require much additional information. The Gemara is going to discuss that. Tiboyu, carmelite mai. What about if you're talking about a fountain in a carmelite or water coming in a carmelite? You want to bend over from Rishut HaRabim or from Rishut HaYachid and drink in a carmelite. I mean, what's the issue here? Clearly, even if the worst comes about and you forget and you take the kli into the other Rishut, it's anyway only a Darabanan, because as far as the Oraita is concerned, you're allowed to carry from a Carmelite either into Rishut HaRabim or into Rishut HaYachid. Which boils down to questioning whether we make a Gezerah for a Gezerah. In other words, a Carmelite is itself a Gezerah. Would we make a Gezerah that you may come to be over on Hotza'ah? Even though even if you were over on Hotza'ah, it would be only Hotza'ah Darabanan. There's some question over here, Rabbi Vega raises the issue, that even if it were the Oraita, you wouldn't be fired. Because if you picked up that cup in order to drink in the other Rishus and then forgot, then as we said earlier, it has to be the Akira, has to be Almanat to do Otsa. If the original Akira was not to do Otsa, but you meant to drink in the other Rishut. So even if you'd forget, it would turn out not to be a Dioraita. Right? Strange. Or do we say that the Akira doesn't have to be Torah, particularly Otsa, but the Torah getting it to where I want it? So even if I don't have in Das, but then what about an Akira on Erev Shabbat? Yeah, but that's a Drabonin, not a Drabonin. It would be a Drabonin, a Drabonin. That's one issue we need to talk about. Another question is, and it's very important to distinguish between two different types of Gezeras like Gezeras. In other words, in general, we know that Koma the Tokun Rabbonin came to your right. When the Rabbonin give a din, they give it all of the qualities of a Dioraita, unless there's some danger in doing this, like various humot, you may come to burn Truma of a Kachet, they make distinctions. But generally speaking, we don't make distinctions. So let's say if they would be Gozer, a new Rishus, called a Carmelite, and all of the types of Hotzah would be the same with a Carmelite. In other words, Akira and Hanoch, and what are considered to be Akira Ba'anoch, and so on and so forth. Lechora, when it comes to that, that's the definition of an extension of a Drabonin. The Drabonin extends the concept of these two Rishuyot into another Rishus. So that's one type of, we don't view that as Gezerah Gezerah. The things that we talk about, Gezerah la Gezerah, are things where we have a chashash that in a particular case you may come to do something which would be an issur d'oraita, and then we want to apply it to a case where what you would do would be an issur d'rabbanan, which itself was only asur because you may come to do a d'oraita. So we don't do two steps, and goes in Gezerah la Gezerah. So the question over here is whether in this particular case the Carmelite would be considered to be a Gezerah la Gezerah, or whether it would just be the structure of the original Gezerah. Whatever applies to Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid, applies to Carmelite to Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYachid. In other words, is this part of the normal din of what the Rabbanan answered in carrying? Is this a specific Gezerah? We're afraid you'll take it out. So Omar Abaye, same thing. Once a Carmelite becomes the equivalent of an alternate Rishut, then all of the same din would apply. Whereas Rabbi says, no, he goof a Gezerah, v'anan nekum v'nigzor Gezerah l'Gezerah, shall we now make one Gezerah for another? Now, Lemaisa, the Rishonim here seem to learn that there's a special issue with Hotzah, in which we would even be willing to make a Gezerah like Gezerah. And that's because Hotzah is so weird. In other words, you're not doing anything. It drives people crazy. People who grew up around an Eruv, when they suddenly come into a city that doesn't have anything, they can't believe, what are you talking about? What am I doing? I'm not doing anything. So, and really, there's a psychological resistance to Hotzah as a malocha in terms of Shabbat. And therefore, we're more mocked on Hotzah. Rashi seems to learn maybe it's particular to these dinim of Shabbos, where there's so many protodinim that the rabbanim didn't make a chiluk in between them. But in any event, a buyer wants to say that we would make a gezerah legezerah over here, even if it would be a gezerah legezerah. And I'll prove it to you, says a buyer. Let me show you. Why do you think it says v'chein begat? Huh? What says v'chein begat? What's the difference if it's water or it's wine? I mean, obviously v'chein begat. Tell me, what type of gat are we talking about? Are we talking about a reshut yachid? It said that in the ratio. It said don't drink water from a reshut rabim, taking out a reshut yachid. Is it a reshut rabim? It also said it in the ratio. Don't do it in the other direction too. Both ways it said. Therefore, we must conclude that the gat is a karmali. And it's saying, not only is it also from reshut rabim and reshut yachid, it's even also in a karmali. There are two possible questions that you may be asking. Let's assume the more sophisticated ones, if you are generally our president. And the president would then be asking, if a gut is portable, then we already saw that a kli is not given the din of a karmelit, but only an actual Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. To which Tosfos replies that, yes, the president is right in asserting that it's a bor, meaning in this particular case, the gut is mechubar to the ground. The other possible question was the size, what makes it a karmelit. And again, the karmelit would be anything that is deeper than three, so it's not love, it's Rosh Hashanah, and it's 4x4 width and less than 10 in depth. And there you have it. Here you've got a karmelit. So, I say, says Abaya, clearly it's a karmelit, and it's coming to tell me that your gozer gzerah gzerah in this sense. No, says Rava, that's not what v'chein begat means. V'chein begat means not only when it comes to Shabbat, but also where it comes to wine. What's nogea wine? It's nogea wine in whether you need to take off ma'aser when you take wine directly out of the press. And we know that until a gemar melacha, there's no chiyuv of taking ma'aser. And even in the Rabbanan, you could continue to drink or to eat ba'arai. The question is, at what point are we already going to view it as a chiyuv, at least in the Rabbanan? This, by the way, is a problem, because even then it would be a chiyuv only in the Rabbanan. Again, it seems to be a gzera orientation there too. But anyway, it's talking about the isur of drinking, and what it means is, as Rav Sheshi says, v'chein begat v'inyin ma'aser, referring to what? It's not. Shotin al hagat. The Mishnah says you would be allowed to drink wine straight out of the press, and it would be considered to be arai, and there wouldn't be, as long as it didn't get into the holding pit, which is called the bor, which is considered to be the gemar malacha. But the moment that you take it out of the gut, it's considered to be kavua. Why? Because you have no intent of putting the remainder back into the pit. In which case, for all intents and purposes, this cup of wine has now been completed, and therefore you'd have to take off ma'aser. So there, the Mishnah is machalic. It raises the question of whether you mix the wine when you drank it, as was the derech in those days, with hot water or cold water. Clearly, if you mix it with hot water, you are not going to put it back, because that is going to encourage the chemical reaction which will destroy the wine. It's going to ferment too rapidly. That's the last thing that you want. You need to keep it cool. So, nonetheless, Rabbi Meir holds, whether you mix it with chamin, whether you mix it with sonein, you're still considered to be potter on maaser at that point. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says, no, in either case, it's considered to be kavua your shtia. And the Chachamim say, and the Chachamim say, and the Chachamim say, and the Chachamim say, al hachamin chayav al hatzonein patur. If it's hot water that you mix it with, and therefore you won't put it back, then it's chayav, because now it's considered no longer to be al hagat. And if it's tzonein, then it's considered to be patur, because hu machzir tam mutar. Since whatever would be left would be put back in, so then okay, it's just basically a taste, which is clearly not kavua, it's arai. And that's what it's referring to when it says v'chein begat. In other words, you need to make sure that you are in a position that you're not going to take the cup out, as a Rashi understands. Take the cup out, same way you would for Shabbos, because you're going to take the cup out, then you'd be chayav in ma'aser. Again, the problem is, even if you would, it would only be a kviyut min rabbanan anyway. It wasn't really nigmar malachka. So what would be so terrible thing? Why isn't that itself? How is Rava answering a problem? Because of that, v'chein begat, this is the way the Rambam learns, doesn't mean bedafka, the exact position. It just means v'chein begat, you have to be marked about whether it's in one rishos or the other. But not that it's going to be choshesh, because that, if it's a chashash, you haven't answered the problem. A buyer was bringing a raya that goes from zera l'gzera. So Rava says, no, it's a different zera l'gzera. That's ridiculous. Tashma. Okay, here's why we bring in this whole problem here. It's part of our Mishnah. That's the thing. How does it become part of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says, lo yetze, in general, lo yetze achayat b'makto hatchuvah, sorry, skipped over here, right? It's not. Lo yetze achayat b'makto samuf l'chashecha. Don't go out carrying your needle, if you are a tailor. Shema yishkach v'yetzeh, we're afraid you may carry it on Shabbat. Now, even if you end up carrying it on Shabbat, what's the big deal? Where is that needle? It's under your hand? It's tkuvah lo b'bigdo, is it not? It must be that it's the advertising needle, as Rashi learns. Everybody could see it, not holding it in your hand. It's stuck in your bag head. That's not the way in which a person normally is motzi, by sticking things in his bag head. See, even if he would carry it on Shabbat, it would be putter. Nonetheless, we say, be careful not to walk out with that needle in your bag head, which shows that when it comes to Hotzah, or to Shabbat, that we do make Gzeira l'Gzeira. Says the Gemara, no. The Nukik Levi Yadei. It means, it doesn't mean the advertising needle. It means carrying your needle if you're trying to maybe bring it home or whatever, and to keep over Shabbat. Tashma, well, the brightest says b'feirush, lo yetzeach hayat b'machato, hatkuva lo b'bigdo. Now, I would assume that this braita is an extension of the Mishnah, and it's just explaining that we're referring to Erev Shabbat, as the Mishnah was, and it's telling us, even though the needle was stuck in your pocket, not pocket, but your beged, as a sign of being a tailor, and nonetheless it's asur, no, says the Gemara, kitani b'Shabbat. What it means is, even though you're not chayav in taking a needle out that you don't hold in your hand, that you have stuck in your begadim, nonetheless, midrabanan, it's asur to go out that way on Shabbos. But we're not going to make a gzera before Shabbos go out like that, because maybe you'll carry it on Shabbos. That's not a problem, perhaps. But Tanya, well, how about the braita that closes all of the options, okay? Lo yetzei achayat b'machatar tchuva b'vigdo b'erev Shabbat im cheshechana. Now what are you going to do? Now, get out of this one. Okay. Our money, Rabbi Yehuda. That bright is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that uman derech unuto chayav, that a craftsman who normally wears a tool in a particular way, even though anybody else who went around carrying maybe something hanging from his clothing or behind his ear or whatever, is not normal hotza'ah, but if that's the normal way that you advertise those particular professions, that is normal for that person. And it's not a gezeira, therefore. Exactly. You were trying to bring a raya that even if you would be yotzei, would only be a drabbanan anyway, to the gzeira l'gzeira. No, it's a diorayta, chayav. Tanya, lo yetzeach chayat b'machato, hatechuva lo b'bigdo. So that we already knew how the tailor advertises. Velo nagar b'kisem shebozno. A carpenter shouldn't walk out wearing a level or a ruler in his ear to make it clear what his job is. And alo sorek b'mishicha shebozno, or the sorek, which in those days was basically the equivalent of the dry cleaner, because you couldn't wash your clothing, but you could comb them out again. And he shouldn't walk out carrying the rope in his ear, because what they would do is they would tie the beged taut with these little ropes that would connect to the sides of the begadim, and then he would pull the comb through it. Velo gardi be'ira shebaozno, nor should the weaver walk out. This is how the English word for ozen came about. You shouldn't wear an ear in your ozen. And what is that? What is an ear? An ear is a little piece of material that's used to stop the flow of the thread from the shuttle. If you can't let it flow too quickly, or it'll just unravel as you throw the shuttle. So they would have a little piece of material to block the shuttle to create just the amount of friction that you need for the correct amount of thread to come out. That's an ira. Velot sava. Now, if you are selling paints, now you have to have, of course, a large catalog of your various paints. So the best way to make a catalog is make a little necklace with the different colors, and each little piece of wood is colored with a different color, and then you show it to the woman of the house, and you say, now, this would be good for the living room. As Rashi says, very cute. You like this one, or you like that one? And this would be your color chart. So they would wear this around their neck. And a shulchani, if he's a banker, I mean, he walks around with a dollar in his ear. Everybody knows what his business is. If you would go out carrying any of these things, it's not permissible, but certainly you're not chayav, because it's not the derech hotza'ah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, uman derech umnuto chayav. If this was your profession, then that's normal for you, and you would be chayav. Somebody else, shar kol adam, would indeed be patur. Tanichada, lo yetzei hazav b'kiso, v'im yatzah patura v'alasur, v'tanya yidach lo yetzei, v'im yatzah chayav chatat. Now one brisa says, the derech was that a zav would wear a pad to, now the question is, if it's to keep his clothing clean from any leakage of prostate fluids, then we get into another question about whether keeping clothes clean is considered to be otzah, which we're going to get into. But there's also the additional need to keep track of whether there was any re'iyah on that day, which would be mitami or would destroy. So if a zav now goes out wearing a pad, equivalent of a sanitary napkin, basically, for a male, except that it's shaped to fit, it's called a kis. So one bright that says going out with this thing would be potter, but you're not allowed to v'chatila. The other bright says yukhaya v'chatas. Isn't that a contradiction? But Yosef, it represents two different shitot. Lo kasha, ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. Wait a minute, says a bright that. You can't say that. Even a shamat el Rabbi Meir, but midi lav ha'mi urche. I mean, Rabbi Meir didn't say any unusual carriage is considered to be hotter unless it was indeed unusual for anyone in that circumstance. But I mean, this is the norm. What do you say? Wear a sanitary napkin in your belt? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Or in your pocket? So the idea over here is that this is the norm for anyone who needs to carry such things. So if it's urche, why would that be considered to be potter according to Rabbi Melilote Mahati? I mean, if you're going to say that there exists some type of absolute description of a malacha, because that's what this one implied. Hotza'ah consists of the way in which hotza'ah was done in the Mishkan in that particular level of expertise. Okay, so according to that, if I'm not an expert at using a drill or whatever, and I would be chokek kav bebakat, I take a piece of wood, and now, as a hobbyist, I make it into a cup. It's not perfect. So I should be potter, but that's not the way in which it's done. So had yotzeh chokek kav bebakat b'shabbat. So we're going to say that's not the absolute malacha. You would suggest that according to Rabbi Meir, that hachinami delo mechayev, I do it in a different way than an uman does it. I managed to get the job done. So, well, managing to get the job done doesn't count. I mean, did anybody ever hear such a thing of Rabbi Meir? Elom Rav Amnuna lo kasha. Therefore, says Rav Amnuna, Rav Yosef was wrong in saying that this braita was a mach. One was Rav Yosef, one was Rav Yehuda, one was Rabbi Meir. Actually, it was two different cases. Kan bezav baal shtei re'iyot. Kan bezav baal shalosh re'iyot. One was talking about where the zav required this case because he needed to know if he would be roa shalosh re'iyot and he would be chayav a korban, that he would be a complete zav. So for him, since he needs this, it's derech hotza'ah. All of this needs to be explained as to why it's not derech levisha. Right? I mean, lechora, this is something that you're wearing. The question is, what is considered to be beged that should be bottled to your body, and what is considered to be a something that is not part of your attire? Okay, that's, we'll see when we get into the question of tinuf begad. The other is talking about a zav was already a zav gomer, therefore there's no point in keeping track of his re'iyot. Wait a minute now. Ma'ishna zav v'ashtay, excuse me. You're saying that the zav of two re'iyot is chayev because he needs this kis to be mboile lebedika. But a zav ba'al shalosh re'iyot has to keep track of whether he ruined a shivat mekiyin. He needs it for Sevira, because he can't become Tahar from his Zivot unless he had 7 clean days. You know, you think it's only the women who can complain. So, look, according to this, he should be just as Chayef. No, it's got a little Bobayom. We're talking about that he hasn't started counting his 7 clean days. So you can't count part of a day as one of the Shivat Nikiyim. So he's going to have to make a Hefsek Tyra that night. So during that day in which he still is being Roa and he's already a Zov Baal Shalosh Riyot, he doesn't really need this Kis. Well, what do you think he's wearing it for? I mean, obviously, it serves a logistical purpose. Think about the halachic purpose. But he doesn't want his clothing to get dirty. So why isn't that enough of a reason to be chayav for hotza'ah? Omer Rabbi Zeira, I Tana, that would be going according to the Tana who holds that kol itzulei tinut lo kachashi. Something that is only there in order to prevent something else from getting dirty is not considered to be valuable enough to be a shiur of hotza'ah. So therefore, it's not included in there of hotza'ah. Remember that hotza'ah requires chashivut, like any malach on Shabbos. It's not doing the act, but it's doing the act so that it should have a significant result. Something which is in itself meaningless, it's only there in order to prevent something else from getting dirty, is not considered to be chashuv. Where do we find this machloket in a very interesting case? And that's the case of hakofek ka'ara al hakota. Somebody takes a pot, turns it upside down on a wall on which it's raining. And now the shaila is the water that collects there considered to be the chiyutan? Because remember that in order for something to be makshir, the kabbalat tumah, a liquid to be mashu kabbalat tuma, even though the pasuk says ki yutan mayim al zera, it spells it. Can you spell it?
The what?
It.
I think.
Exactly. You see how deeply involved he is in the internet. So now the question is that the Torah spells it by writing ki yitain instead of ki yutan, which means that we strike a balance. The only time that you're able to be makshir is if water was put on something that you wanted. So it's as if even though ki yutan is passive, ki yitain is active. You don't have to do the actual work, it's passive in that sense, but it's ki yitain in a mental sense. So you want this to be there. Now you take over here a pot, put it on top of a wall, no interest in collecting water. So all you want to do is make sure that the kotel doesn't get wet. So in b'shushu tudacha kara, if you want the pot to be washed off, now there you want the water to wash the pot. So then I raise a bit of yutan. But in bishvil shalo yilakeh kotel, the only reason that you put it there is in order to prevent the wall from getting damaged by the water, then it's a no b'chiyutan. And therefore, we see that the question of your intent to save from tinuf, or in this case to save from the damp of the water, is not chashuv. Not me, dami. Come on. It's not really similar, is it? I mean, Adam Loka Bailul, I'm asking Klal. You're telling me over there, I don't want these waters at all. Okay, so in other words, as far as I'm concerned, we can forget about the water. So clearly there's no, if I don't have any interest in the water, then there's makes no difference to me what the kfiyah is for. There's no kfiyah because I don't want it to get wet at all. The issue is not to look at the pot and why the pot's there. The issue is to look at why the water is here. As far as I'm concerned, my das has to be that this water should be, I don't want any water. So obviously that's not kfiyah. Machine came over here, the question is not whether you want the zivas. I mean, that's not what defines it. Over here, Acha, Kaboyelahu like kiss. You do want this kiss, do you not? You want the kiss, the Kibbul of Ezima. And therefore, it's not the same. You're saying, well, I would rather not be a Zav. Thank you very much. But that isn't the question that's going to determine the nature of Itzula Nitino. This is something that we should continue tomorrow. At what time? Tomorrow night? Shall we do our 9:30 time again? So is that all right for everybody? I love the responsiveness. Because they know it's useless anyway. It's done. It's like the Russian Duma. Everybody votes.
Pick volunteers. In both cases, you would rather not have
it. Yeah, but the bin that defines it.